we underestimate the fact that we are involved in a spiritual war. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this dark world. You see, Satan at some point in time, I think towards the beginning of the tribulation period, implants in the minds of these nations that now is the time to take Israel out. Why would Satan want to take Israel out? Satan wants to take Israel out of the picture because of Genesis 12 and verse 3, where God said He would bless the world through who? The Jewish people. The fact of the matter is, every spiritual blessing that we have today has come to us through the Jewish people. The Bible, every single writer, with the only exception of Luke, that's even debated, was Jewish. Jesus was not a Southern Baptist. I can get myself hung in Texas for saying things like that. But He was Jewish. The kingdom. Now this is what Satan really hates. The kingdom. Satan doesn't want the kingdom to come. Because he knows that once the kingdom comes, he'll be bound for 1,000 years. And after the kingdom, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. He knows that the kingdom is going to come through the nation of Israel. The past two blessings he hasn't been able to stop, but he thinks he can stop blessing three. And so what better way to do that than to wipe Israel out prematurely so the kingdom will never come? If the kingdom never comes, Satan remains the perpetual ruler of this world. See how he thinks? So the why question is spiritual. It's anti-Semitism. Satanically motivated. But these nations don't know that. They think they're acting for a physical reason. The physical reason is mentioned in chapter 38 and verse 12. It says there in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 12, the nations will come to capture spoil, to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited and against the peoples who are gathered from the nations who have acquired cattle and goods who live at the center of the world. They're coming against the nation of Israel because of wealth. I gave you last night this quote from Mark Twain, who visited the nation of Israel in about 1867, and there was nothing there but a barren expanse. And isn't it interesting how the Jews come back into that land and they now have a gross domestic product which outstrips their neighbors? The prophecies of Ezekiel are leaping right off the pages, folks. The motivation for the attack, Ezekiel 38 and verse 12, is wealth. We now have an Israel in the land producing wealth. One writer in the Jerusalem Post says, despite a population of only slightly more than 7 million people, Israel is now home to 2,000 millionaires. Of the 500 wealthiest people in the world, 6 are now Israeli. And all told, Israel's rich had assets in 2007 of more than $35 billion. Israel's GDP is almost double that of any other Middle Eastern country. They're coming after Israel because of her wealth. One article says this, the value of minerals in the Dead Sea is estimated at $5 trillion. Another article says this, in the summer of 2010, huge deposits of natural gas were found along Israel's northern coastline. Israel is actually sitting on top of a vast amount of oil. The article goes on and describes it. You see, what the Bible is giving us here is the answer to the why question. Why the invasion? Really, two reasons. Number one, it's satanically motivated. But from the human perspective, it's an ambition to acquire Israel's wealth that she has gained ever since returning into that land in 1948. Well, that takes us to the what question. What is going to be the outcome of these things? Well, basically what's going to happen is this coalition is going to be annihilated by God. That's described in Ezekiel 38, verses 19 through 22. In fact, that carnage is going to be so severe that, as we stated before, the vultures are going to come and gorge themselves on the corpses. In fact, this battle will be so severe that it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. You'll see that in chapter 39, verses 11 and 12, and verses 14 through 16. And beyond that, it's going to take 7 years to burn the weapons. Ezekiel 39, verses 9 and 10. Let me comment just for a minute on the burning of the weapons. This is one of the arguments that people use to place this event before the tribulation starts. Because after all, how could you have weapons burning in the millennial kingdom? Well, let me let you in on something here. Babylon is going to be burning throughout the millennial kingdom. Revelation 19, verses 2 and 3 says of Babylon, "Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever." If Babylon is burning throughout the millennial kingdom, what's the problem of having some weapons burn for a mere 7 years? The millennial kingdom is a wonderful time, but it's not the eternal state. The millennial kingdom is a renovation of this earth. The eternal state is a brand new earth entirely. In the millennial kingdom, there'll still be death. Did you know that? Not you, not us. We'll be in resurrected bodies, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. But there will be death of those who enter the millennial kingdom as survivors of the tribulation period in their non-resurrected bodies. They will have children. Their children will have children. The earth will be repopulated. You'll actually have two groups of people existing in the millennial kingdom, resurrected individuals and mortals. And they'll be interacting together. You say, well, that's really weird. That sounds like science fiction. There's actually a biblical precedent for it. There's a 40-day period of time in between the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension, isn't there? Isn't Jesus in His resurrected body at that time? But isn't He talking to, conversing with, having meals with the disciples who are in their non-resurrected bodies? They're asking Him questions about the kingdom and these kinds of things, and He's answering. So the millennial kingdom is not the eternal state. The millennial kingdom is a renovation of this earth. The eternal state is a new earth entirely. All of that to say, I don't have a problem with weapons burning in the millennial kingdom. Babylon's going to burn in the millennial kingdom. So the 7-year burning of the weapons to me is not grounds enough to put this battle before the 7-year tribulation period starts, as many are arguing. But the greatest thing that happens as a result of this battle is chapter 39, verse 22. Chapter 39, verse 22 indicates, "And the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord your God from that day onward." Verse 29, "My Spirit will be poured out on the house of Israel, declares the Lord." What is the greatest thing that happens as a result of this battle? A converted Israel. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the catalyst that God uses to bring the Hebrew people to faith. God has to bring them to faith, doesn't He? Because they have a what with God? A covenant called the Abrahamic covenant. This is why Jeremiah 31, verses 35 through 37 says, "As long as there's sun, moon, and stars, Israel will always be a nation before me." If you want to destroy the nation of Israel, you don't aim your rockets and bombs at Israel. You aim them at the sun and the moon and the stars. Because God has said, as long as the fixed order remains of sun, moon, and stars, Israel will always be a nation before me.